everyone, and welcome to episode 44 of the SVPPA podcast for May 2024. It's been a while since we last came on, but it's great to be back. And this episode, mainly being run by Adrian and myself, and we have some great contributions by Gemma and Lillian. So, what have we got coming up? We start off with a look back at last year's reunion and a talk with Lillian. So we'll start that in a few minutes. Then we've got a new section, which is three songs that remind you of your time at school, which Adrian is going to do first. And we'd love people to come back to us with their songs, with their ideas, and then we can use them on an upcoming podcast. Next, we've got Gemma. I've known Gemma since I was six, and I'm 53 now. So it's a heck of a long time since I first met Damien, Adele and Gemma on the Rochdale coach, the infamous Rochdale coach. And we used to pick up Oldham and Rochdale every week and drop off at St. Vincent's and Wavertree. I can remember on there were people like the McHales, the O'Connors, Bill Phillips, or a few younger ones as well. I can't really remember that well, but that takes me back to my days when I was a youngster. And we had quite a lot of people on the school coach as well at the time. When I first started, it was pretty full. It used to sound like a 50-seater, and it was nearly full. And I know there were a few other large coaches as well, like the Cumbria coach. And I don't know about other places, but I know that we had the Cumbria one and the Rochdale one, where quite a lot of people came, and a lot of people came in taxis with small groups. So, yeah, an interview with Gemma. It's going to be a two-parter, and that will cover Gemma's story from leaving school up to moving to Ireland in 2020. And we will give you all the details of the reunion at the end. So, what we'll do is we'll start off with talking to Lillian.
Now, before we give you the information about this year's reunion, we thought we'd tell you all about last year's, so that for those of you who didn't come last year, we might be able to entice you to come this year. Last year's reunion took place at school and Bradbury Fields on the 8th of July, and what better way to tell you all about it than to invite somebody who enjoyed it last time. So we welcome Lillian McCarthy. Hello, Lillian. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, fine.
Good. It's quite funny because I thought you'd been on in the past, but like you said, you don't think you have, so...
No, I'm sure I haven't.
And you've been coming to the reunions for quite a few years, on and off as well, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I first started coming to reunions in the 80s when I lived in Liverpool. I lived a very short distance away from the school, a short bus ride, in fact. And I used to come to the reunions on a regular basis when I lived in Liverpool. And then when I went to RNC, I remember we had a minibus came up from RNC with some of the ex-St. Vincent's pupils on the bus. And we came up for a reunion and I went and visited my parents while I was in Liverpool. And it was in the days when Sid Wilson was the chairman. It was all quite different back then, of course, but still pleasant.
It has changed over the years. And just a little shout out as well. If you've got memories of old reunions, you know, send a message in. Always good to hear. And we can include it on here or even on the newsletter.
What happened after when you went to RNC? I'm interested to know. It sounds like I didn't realise you'd been coming for this long, Lillian. So what was there a break after that before you...
Yes, because it only ever happened that there was one year when there were quite a few of us wanting to go to a reunion. I forget exactly how it came about that this bus was organised. I think it was somebody who is now known as Paul Carter, who was then Michael Frank. And I think he was partly responsible, along with people like Paul Maher and Bowie and people like that, Bowie Ghosh, for actually getting together, organising this transport. But that only ever happened 1 year. And then obviously, because then I was at RNC, it wasn't really always possible for me to travel to attend reunions. So for a long, long time, I didn't attend until I left RNC. And then I came to a couple in the mid-80s. One of them was in 1986, and I remember that it was the same day as the Bradford fire disaster happened. Was the same day that the reunion was on. I remember being there with, because at the time I was going out with Pat Rodaway, and we went to the reunion together, and we met Terry Clasper and Tracy. It was the one and only time that I ever met Tracy Clasper.
What would you say about how the reunions have changed from those days?
Well, we used to always have, we used to have, when I first started coming to reunions, we used to have a buffet lunch, and it was an actual buffet. So it was, you know, you got your food and you put it on plates and things. And I think that used to happen when I first started coming to the reunions. I'm sure that used to happen in the gym. In fact, I think everything went on in the gym. You had the buffet lunch, and then you had the AGM. That's pretty much stayed as it was, really. That hasn't altered that much, except obviously the person, you know, the people at the front. But that's kind of as far as I can remember. And then I think, as far as I remember, I don't remember there being an evening entertainment. I think what used to happen is that those that wanted to used to go out for a meal somewhere. They used to book a meal somewhere, but there was never evening entertainment like there is now as part of the reunion. It was mainly the day, and it went on till about tea time-ish, and then people would start leaving. I don't ever remember anybody staying at school in those very early days. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I don't remember being aware of it.
To be honest, I think no one, the school, staying at school is quite new. 2008, first time
I
went.
That's what I thought.
And the reason for that initially was because the Liverpool being the city of culture. So everywhere, hotels, everything were mad expensive. So Colin or whoever the committee at the time had arranged to stay at school. And we were, you know, we've been lucky really that for, 11, 12 years after that, we managed to carry on with that. I know it's not something we can do now. And it's understandable, you know, the school has changed over time. And I think it's only probably the 2000s when the evening started as well.
The reason I probably wouldn't have been aware of any accommodation was because at the time I wouldn't have needed accommodation because I lived locally. So I just came during the day and then went home at the end of the event.
There was a long gap after that, was there?
Yeah. There was. I had quite a long gap. I didn't come to any reunions at all during the 90s. Because then I moved up here to Middlesbrough. And then the first one that I came to was 2000 and I think it was 16. I think it was. I know it was the same day as Eurovision. And that was the last one where we had the evening in the dining room. And that was weird because that felt wrong because we were doing adult things in a kid's dining room and it just felt weird and wrong.
I remember that one because you, I know you, we had music on and
we had karaoke. Do you remember Sid did it?
I remember you singing Cats.
Yeah, memories.
You did
I
memory,
memory.
yeah. Sid
Yeah.
did karaoke, did
No, not
he?
Sid. Another
Oh,
Sid. A young
okay.
Sid.
Don't think
Yeah.
he would.
Called.
And
No,
what?
not him. Oh God, he wouldn't do
I know.
karaoke.
So I'm
No
trying to
way.
think of
No, it was a guy called
Yes,
Sid.
Sidney Tadman, Hambin.
That's the
Oh, I've
one.
heard the
Yeah,
name.
him.
I've heard of
Yeah,
him.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
And
He did the karaoke, and he was going out with Chelsea Greely at the time.
did you stay at the school for that one?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. I did. Yes, I did. That was the first time that I stayed at the school. And that was weird because I never stayed at school when I was at school. So that
No.
was a bit strange. The only time I ever stayed at school when I was at school was when we had our leavers party. And then I stayed in Keller. And that was the one and only time I ever stayed at school.
And it's changed even for people who were staying when you were there, the dormitories and stuff.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Yeah, because back then you had four people sharing one room and you didn't have en suite and all this like they've got now for later.
I know.
So, do you want to tell us about last year's reunion and what you enjoyed about that?
Okay, so last year's reunion, I have to say, in many ways, I wasn't looking forward to it because my health wasn't very good. I was in a lot of pain last year, if people remember, and I wasn't particularly looking forward to it, but having committed to it and said that I would come, I did come. And having got there, I really enjoyed the day. The whole event was really, really good. We arrived at the school. We came the day before, so that we could be at the school in good time. And yeah, the afternoon at the school was good. We had a packed lunch in the dining room, which worked a lot better than a buffet lunch because it's a lot tidier. You've not got people dropping things off plates and guide dogs scavenging for them. So that was really good. That worked really well. We've had that for a while now, and I think that's a lot better than a buffet.
It's funny as well, Lillian, because the first time we did it, and it was an idea from Bradbury Fields because they've always done the catering, and again to keep it simple, but the number of sort of initial sort of we're not children, we're not babies, we are. Why are we having it in a bag? But then every year since, it's been even those who said why are we doing it this way, have said. Actually, it's easier. Let's do it this way.
It
And
is.
we've modified it slightly and keep it within a budget. But yeah, it works.
Yeah, it is. It is easier, I think it is. Definitely. Because I mean as well, because you can always swap things. If
Yeah.
someone gets an apple and they want a banana, you can always swap. Do you know what I mean?
Swap an egg for a corned beef sandwich. So
Oh no, you
if you had an
didn't.
egg sandwich, you'd give it to me, and I had a corned beef one, I'd give it
Well,
you, wouldn't I, Lil?
exactly, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Although Josie was really good at telling you what sandwiches, were available
Yeah,
so you could choose.
she was
So I mean, it
great.
was good in that. Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean that's another thing. We've got people now that come along to the reunions that are just super helpful and brilliant at helping it run. People like Josie and Donna and people like that, that really made the weekend go really smoothly, by helping out, but not in a patronizing way.
So, would you like to say what you did in the afternoon after the lunch then?
Okay, so basically, after the AGM was over, there is free time after the AGM, and you could have a look round the school, but I didn't want to do that. So some of
Well, you've
it,
done it before.
well,
You've
I
been to
had,
quite a few before, hadn't you? Whereas I
yeah,
hadn't.
I had.
So, yeah.
So I didn't really want to do that. Plus the fact my health was such that at the time I couldn't walk very far. I was in a lot of pain, so I
Yeah.
didn't want to be doing a lot of walking. So Some of us went into the chapel, well, stayed in the chapel, in fact, because the meeting had happened in the chapel, which happens now, which didn't was a bit odd, I found at first, but I've got used to it.
And the meeting was in the room near the front door, wasn't it?
Yes,
oh,
it was.
Yeah, it was. It has been in the chapel
it has
before,
been
though.
before, Gavi. Yeah.
Depending on number of people, will depend where we have it. If we get a lot, we need the space that the chapel's used for the hall.
Exactly. Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
It was a conference room that we had.
Yeah, that's right. We did.
Near the old typing room.
Sorry. Anyway, as I say, some of us went into the chapel and had a bit of a thing, sang some worship songs. And there was Gary and Jane and myself. My Adrian was with me. He wasn't doing much singing, though, but he was with me. And then Michael came and joined and I think a couple of people came and listened. Josie recorded it on her phone.
And Gary played the guitar, was that right?
Gary played the piano.
Oh, the piano.
Jane played the ukulele.
Oh.
And then Michael took over on the piano when he came in.
Mm.
So it was a bit of a shared thing.
Yeah, it was nice. That's sort of a good memory. It's not one I'll
forget. It was, and it made the reunion for me, I have to say.
I mean, I have to say that I was so excited about the school being so much of being unlocked and hadn't been back for years that I walked past and thought how lovely it sounded, but I didn't want to come in because I wanted to use the time to do a good walk around the school. So I didn't actually pop in. But if you're going to do it again this year, then I would love to pop in and listen.
Well, if people are up for it, it's something I would really like to do, and I would like to. Maybe put something on the group, maybe to say, look, I would be interested in doing this. And would anybody, you know, if anybody else fancies it?
Yeah, put it on the Facebook group just before the event.
And if you're passing, just come in and join in.
It's the one thing that actually made the reunion for me.
Good.
Because although I enjoyed the evening at Bradbury Fields, the meal was beautiful. The help we got was superb. I'm not sure the entertainment, personally, I'm not sure the entertainment for me worked as well as it might have for lots of reasons, but not to do with the person who did the broadcast. It was just the way it had to happen. It didn't feel like it worked for me.
We've had some similar feedback from other people, but we're you know, I think you'll enjoy it more this year because there's a lot of people asking for karaoke.
Yeah, and also, can you remember the weather?
Oh, yeah, and on that conservatory roof,
you couldn't hardly hear.
It was making a hell of a noise, and you couldn't always hear Ian's what he was saying, could you, where we were sat?
No, you couldn't, and you couldn't. I mean, it's a good job it was on Mixcloud, because, I mean, I know you had to listen to it again, and I definitely had to, because I missed loads of it.
Yeah.
And, of course, you see, when you were in doing your... because you had to go into a separate room to do your little bit of, you know, on the radio sort of thing, you know, it meant you missed bits and people didn't hear you and
For anyone who missed it, there is a link on the website to that show that Ian did, which you can play on Mixcloud. If you click on the details for this year's reunion, which is on the homepage, of course, there is a link there to last year's reunion so that people who haven't been before can find out what it's all about. And it's on that page telling you all about last year's reunion. There's a link to play Ian's show again. And he did a great show. And he did invite several of us into the room where he was broadcasting from to talk about what was going on and everything.
No, well, this is what I mean. The show itself was brilliant.
Mm.
But for an entertainment, for the reunion, I'm not really sure it worked as well as it could have. But that's... you know, that's besides the point. The point was, it was a good day. successful. People enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot more than I expected to, just because of how I was feeling at the time.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to this year, because from a health perspective, I feel like I'm in a better place to enjoy it.
Good.
And if I enjoyed it last year, I will definitely enjoy it this year. Although I have to say, I can't drink now because I can't drink now because of the medication I'm on. But actually, I don't miss it. I still enjoy stuff. You don't have to drink to enjoy.
Yeah, no, you don't. So I've got one question to ask you, Lillian, for anyone who's listening to this who hasn't been before, because again, a lot of us have, and we've been on for years, and it's sometimes quite a daunting thing, especially if you're not feeling up to it like you were last year. What would you say to someone who just comes across this and thinks, should I come? Will I know anyone? What would you say?
I would say, give it a go. Come along and get sat with people. I know it's sometimes not easy, especially when you're total. You can't make eye contact with people. But there'll be people that can help you find people to sit with. And once you meet people the first time, you'll get to know them, and you'll know next time you come. I mean, well, there was one year, this girl came, and when she, after the reunion, I saw a comment. She put, "What a waste of time. Nobody spoke to me. I didn't know anybody." And that was really, really sad. So I think the thing is, if there's any way that we can try and get a situation where if we know anybody's coming or they look a bit lost, maybe find someone that can say, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. Is there anybody you'd like to sit with?" I know it's a lot to ask of the committee, but
well,
it's
that's good
awfully
feedback. No, I know what you mean, because as a, I mean, I think once our site, I mean, out of the three of us, I've not much sight at all, as you know. But out of the three of us, obviously mine's the best out of the three of us. There's nothing worse than being stuck in a party and not know who's there. And
exactly.
That's
and,
what I mean.
And we've
all
been there. And especially if there's loud music on, you just got no chance.
But it wasn't too loud, was it?
No, it wasn't. But, you know, I'm just saying that that adds to the isolation of it if you have got loud music.
Oh, yes.
And maybe if karaoke's on, you know. Mind you, by the time karaoke's on, people that are there will have been there for a while, I would think. And and there's always that other bit in Bradbury where people, if they don't want the music and to listen to the music, they can sit in that quiet bit, can't they?
Yeah, opposite the bar.
Yeah. So there is that option for people, I suppose.
Yeah.
But what I'd say is if there is anybody that could kind of just look out for people, I know it's hard when everybody's like can't see and stuff, but look out for people that might look a bit lost and think, "Oh, I don't know anyone. Where can I sit? Who can I sit with?"
Yeah.
No, because even I don't mind if people... If people don't know me and want to sit and chat, I'm happy to chat with anyone.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I've been going for, 15 years, roughly, and I've made some great friends. I mean, I've met you two, loads of people who, not even my age, you know, younger, older, really good friendships with. And, I mean, me personally...
But see, I thought you had more sight than you have, because...
I don't look.
You make
I come
such,
across.
Yeah, you do, and you make such use of it.
And to me,
you know, you make such good use. I didn't realize until we were at Leeds Station, and you were lost. I didn't realize how bad your sight was.
I mean, it was better when I first started coming, but it's always been really bad. But like you say, you make of it what you can. And like me personally, I've always circulated the best I can at reunions, and you know that from, I'll pop up at your table every hour, and because that's me, that's what I want to do, and that's what to me the reunions, it's about that. But I think, and I think sometimes we all do it, and we should do, be a little bit selfish in the right way, and think, well, like, I want to meet people. What do I want to get out of it? So if you can, and you've got that little bit of a guts to do it, get yourself out there. Go say hi. You never know what'll happen.
No, that's right. I mean, I know not everybody's built that way.
No, I'm certainly not.
And that's why I said if people can, if we could get a situation where somebody could look out for people that might look as if they're a bit on their own and a bit kind of not really enjoying themselves, just say, are you all right? I'm so and so. Are you all right? Are you enjoying it? And they might say, well, I don't really know anybody. Well, would you like to sit with such a person? Would you like me to find someone that you can sit with? That you can chat to.
Well, just before we finish, just on this as well, because as people know, a lot of people interact on the Facebook group. The one thing I say, and I've said it every year, is you always said about you might not know people when you get here, but you might be at school at this particular year, you know who your friend circle was. And if they're on Facebook or around, get in touch with them and encourage them to come. And I can say it all I want, but my age group are the ones who left, around 86, 89. I know the young ones, but I can't reach them the same way. Like you can't. And it is about, just reach out to your friends, tell them about it, and come along. Give it a go.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely worth coming along. At least give it a go. And
Yeah.
then if you go and then you think, well, actually, it's not for me, I don't think I'll bother again, that's your decision. But at least you've given it a go.
There isn't anybody from my era that I've met so far, apart from you, Lillian, but I still enjoyed talking to people that I did meet. But yeah, it's, all I'm saying is if you don't know people, you get talking to all sorts of people, and it's great, But we all need to look out for each other. You're quite right. We need to do that. Yeah. Very good. Thank you for joining us, Lillian.
No problem. You are welcome.
And we'll look forward to seeing you again in
Okay, I'll
June.
see you in June.
Thanks, Lillian. It was great hearing you and having a good chat with you about last year and hearing some of your memories from leaving school up to the present day as well. Couple of things we've done over the last 12 months while we've been between the reunions is we've had a couple of meetups. We had a theatre meetup last year, as some people will know. I've recently taken up a role at the Lowry Theatre, and I've been a big theatre goer for many a year. And I love to share the theatre with friends, with SVPPA, with anyone who's interested. So we had a group of about 14 of us. There was probably about half a dozen from SVPPA who went to see Everybody's Talking About Jamie last year. We had a really good day, started with breakfast, just made a whole day of it, and really good friendship, and it was just good fun. So we will do another one at some point. I've got a couple planned for this year, but mainly the tickets are already gone. But if there are any available or come available, they will go on the SVPPA Facebook page. We also had the New Brighton meetup at Christmas, just before Christmas. Small get together. And hopefully we will do another one again this Christmas. So the next meetup we did have was the Chester meetup in March. We had 10 of us turn up. Unfortunately, we had cancellations going home on the train, but that didn't spoil what was a really good day. We used the Town Crier pub, which is literally opposite the train station, and a really good location. The staff this year were amazing as well. They had someone just looking after us, helping with drinks, helping with the food, reading the menus. We couldn't have actually asked for a better service from them. So we will go back next year. We normally visit there between January and March every year. It just seems to be a great place because easy to get to from Manchester, Liverpool, Wales and beyond. So look out for that one next year. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to move on to Adrian's three songs that remind him of his time at school.
Well, the first of my three songs is Rita Coolidge and We're All Alone, and it reminds me of Frank McFarlane. Now, Mr. Mac was very scathing about pop music, and he knew I liked it, and he made it quite clear he didn't have a lot of time for most of it. However, for some particular reason, he did like this song, and so it always reminds me of him.
Outside the rain begins, and it may never end, so cry no more on the shore a dream. Will take us out to sea forevermore, forevermore. Close your eyes and dream.
My second song has happy memories of good times at school, but it also has a sad memory, because you know how songs sometimes remind you of a particular incident. And this one always reminds me of the day that the charity box in the youth club got stolen. And sadly, as far as I'm aware, they never found out who did it. But it was a really big thing at the time, and everybody was just really shocked that it happened. It's Gallagher and Lyle, and I Want to Stay With You.
Inside, outside, up and around. Love set me up, and love let me down again. Like a weatherman, one day sun, next day rain.
Gallagher and Lyle, and yes, that song, I just remember it going round and round in my mind the day that we heard about the money going missing in the youth club. Anyway, on to a happy occasion for my final song, and that was one of those wonderful trips to New Brighton, which were just the highlight of the year, weren't they? What a fantastic day it was. And this was my, I think it was, yeah, my first one in 1976 aboard the Royal Iris, and I was in the main sort of area where the dance floor was, where the sort of disco was on, and I went up to the DJ and I asked him if I could introduce a record. And he let me come up to the big double turntable unit, and he had this particular single queued up, ready to go. And he said, "You could introduce this, just say the name and the artist, and press this big switch." And I pressed the big switch, and there was just a slight delay before the song started, because I didn't know back in those days that they had to start the song half a turn back on queuing the record, so that it queued it up without slowing the start of the song. So I introduced it and pressed the switch, and what a thrill it was as he held the mic in front of me and my voice echoed around the ship as I said, "This is ABBA and Dancing Queen."
Adrian, for that. And we do ask that you get in touch with us, and if you've got three songs you want to share on a future podcast, we can do that. So full details will be at the end. As I said earlier, we are going to have a chat with Gemma. Like I said, my memories and my friendship with Gemma and all the O'Connors goes back a heck of a long time, far too many years for me to even think about. So I'm going to hand over to Adrian, who's going to start this chat.
So something we want to do here on the podcast as a new feature is to talk to people who have left school and find out what they've been doing since they left school and what careers they've got into. And I thought we'd start with our current chairperson, Gemma O'Connor. Hello, Gemma.
Adrian, thanks for having me on.
That's great. And Gemma's a qualified physiotherapist, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be interested to know how you got into that career. But perhaps we can start off by telling us a little bit what you did after you left St Vincent's.
Okay, well, I was at St Vincent's from 1974 to 1986. I left and I went to RNC to do all levels in my first year, and then to proceed to A-levels with a view to getting into university and doing studying physio. I was one of the lucky ones, I suppose, because I knew that that was what I wanted to do from when I was about 12. So, we all have our dreams when we're little, and mine was I want to be a doctor or I want to be a nurse. But that wasn't achievable with my level of eyesight. So I thought, well, I want to do something in terms, to do with medical stuff. So I decided I wanted to do physio. I loved human biology at school, so it was just a natural thing for me that's what I wanted to do when I was older. So
Excellent.
I went to RNC. I actually left RNC at the end of my first year A-levels due to certain circumstances. And I decided, because my brother at the time, he'd gone back into education and he'd done his GCSEs at Oldham College, where we lived. And they had an access centre there, which was a fantastic resource. So he suggested to me that I go back up home and attend Oldham College, which I did. And I did my A-levels there. I took them in 1990 because I had to start them again. Of course, by 1990, I discovered men and nightclubs, and I failed them miserably, actually. I didn't do well. I passed one and failed the other. And I thought, okay, resit them then. But I suppose in the middle of my second year, in the middle of my resit year, I just got burnt out. I was just sick of education. I was sick of going in every day. I just got burnt out with it. So I left. I decided I was going to leave and get a job. So I left. I left on the Wednesday, and I started work at one of the mills for an agency, picking orders for catalogue companies. I did that for a few months, and then I got a job as a receptionist at Remploy in Oldham, where I worked for 4 years, just about 4 years.
Right.
And in the meantime, of course, my relationship broke up, and I thought, hang on a minute. I did have ideas about what I wanted to do at one point. And I remember it very clearly. I was talking to Damien one night, and I was going on about how rubbish my life was and how I'd never achieved anything and all that sort of stuff that you'd think when you're in your early 20s. And I said, if it wasn't for doing something stupid, I could have been a qualified physio by now. And he said, Gemma, he said, instead of whinging about it, why don't you do something about it? And I thought, oh, yeah, fair point. I'll take that on. And I rang in the days when we had the DROs at the job centre. So I rang the DRO the next day and I said, how can I get to do this? And she said, well, actually, they do an access course at RNC or they do a remedial therapy one. So they said, and this week is the last week for applications. So she said, you're just in time. So I actually applied for the remedial therapy course because I wanted something where I could do a course and start earning money.
Yeah.
And I went down for the assessment and I spoke to the woman who ran the remedial therapy course, who was basically said, you won't be able to do it.
Oh.
But come back next year and have another go. And I told her, no, thanks, I won't bother. I'll do the access course instead. So I did the access course. Had a great time that year at Hereford. It was better than the first time I was down there. And I went on to University of East London, and apparently I was the first person to get two offers for physio, because I got an offer from Newcastle as well.
Oh.
So it was a bit of it. It was one of those things that I thought at the time, I am going to pass this course and I am going to get into unit and I am going to qualify. I was very, very sure of it.
And what was it like at uni then?
It was hard work. Because unlike a lot of the other courses, we were in from 9 till 5 every day. Other people who we you know knew on other courses, they'd have like 3 lectures a week or something like that. But we were in 9 till 5 every day, and if we weren't in anatomy lectures or there were loads of practical lectures, so you had to be quite robust. You know, you had to be reasonably fit. And we had the lectures. It was difficult because although there was the physio used to be taught at North London Physio School. That was where I applied to first when I was at Oldham College. And everything was done in one building. The library, your lecture rooms, your living quarters, everything was in the one building. And when that closed, I think it was about 92, I think it closed, they moved. They created the RNIB Resource Centre at University of East London.
Yeah, because North London was the place that trained line physiotherapists originally, wasn't it? So they did actually, yep. RNIB did set something else up instead of that. I didn't realise that.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, and it was a really good resource. And the woman who was the manager of that was, she was one of the former lecturers. She taught us anatomy and she was a lecturer at North London School as well. And there was a woman called Jane Owen Hutchinson who was a physio who worked at North London. And so it was good because there was that continuity. So they both knew what people needed in terms of support, and they knew what support we would need in the practical sessions, which was very good.
Yeah.
The theory sessions were a lot more difficult because you were sat in a lecture theatre with 80-odd other people. And they used a board, and yeah, it was quite difficult. I used to record the lectures, but you'd have to listen to them again to do your notes and stuff like that. But it was fun. It was challenging, and I do remember the assessment because you went to North London if you wanted to go there. You went for a week, and they really did put you through it.
Right,
they really did. You had to do inside mobility tests, outside mobility. You had to walk because they did all their placements at the Whittington Hospital, and you had to do, like, you were shown where it was, but then you would be observed doing that route on your own. So they were very big on if you're working as a physio, you've got to be able to get round and you've got to know where things are, and you know, talking to somebody who qualified there in the 1970s a couple of months ago. He was saying that they would mark out a square on the floor and they would put you in the corner of the square and say, right, where's such and such a thing in this square? And you'd have to find it. Because if you're on a ward and you're totally blind, you've got to know where everything is.
Right.
So, but yeah, East London was great. We lived at the nurses' home behind the Royal London Hospital. So we socialised with all the medics. We didn't so much use a students' union there, but we socialised with all the medics. And a lot of socialising there was as well.
Good.
But it was good. And, you know, you could be sent anywhere on placement. I remember my last placement was up in Harlesden, and it was an hour and a half on the tube each way.
Wow.
2 tubes changing at Baker Street. And it was a case of, well, if you don't know where it is, find it. And there wasn't Google Maps or the internet wasn't massive in them, you know, in those days.
Mm.
It was just really starting to get big. So yeah, it would be asking someone, going into a shop, asking them, finding your way, and but you did it because you had to.
Yeah. So that must have been quite an experience for you. And what happens after you left? Then did you get a job straight away?
Yeah, I applied. My then partner was a Yorkshire bloke, so I applied to hospitals in Yorkshire and Oldham and Birmingham. I thought just anywhere where I know people. And I had 4 interviews and got turned down for 2 and got offered 2. And the one I got offered was at Pontefract Hospital in Yorkshire. And when I started work there in September 1998, and they'd just merged with Pinderfields in Wakefield. So I sort of came in just on the back of that merger. And it was, yeah, I loved it. And it was one of those jobs that I couldn't wait to go to work every day to see what I was going to come up against. Do you know what I mean?
That's nice.
And they didn't even talk about my visual impairment. Their attitude was, we don't know what you need. We're not psychic. So if you need something, ask us. And that was how it worked. And it worked well.
And what kind of department was it specialising in any particular area?
Well, when you first qualify, you have to do the rounds. So you go on rotation as a junior physio. You would go on rotation for 4 months. And I worked, first of all, I worked in outpatients and orthopaedics. And then I worked in medical elderly wards. And where did I work then? I was back on outpatients. I worked... Must be. Then I went to Pinderfields, worked on the neurology wards. So people who'd had strokes or people who'd had MS or Parkinson's, and you'd work with them on the wards. And I can't remember where I went after that. But then I got in 2000, I got promoted to a senior two post, which was longer. You did longer rotations, so you did 9 month rotations instead of 4.
Right.
And so I worked on. Oh, meanwhile, you have to do be on the on call rotor in the weekend working rotor, and you have to do tests to prove that you're competent, because you could get called in at 2 o'clock in the morning to somebody who's in respiratory distress, and you've got to be able to help form a plan or try and, you know, unblock whatever's down there stopping them from breathing. Wow. And they could be literally life and death situations.
Mm.
So, but and then when I got, yeah, I was a senior two for a while. I worked on surgery, respiratory, intensive care, orthopaedics, a bit of a mixture of both. And then I got an acting senior one post, which was made substantive after about 8 months. And that was working on respiratory, surgery, intensive care. And I also did the on-call training for the junior staff as well. So it was quite intense.
I imagine it was pretty hard work by the sound of it.
It was hard work, but very rewarding. Then later on I went on to work with amputees and doing their rehab.
Uh-huh.
And I loved that, because they all had a bit of character about them, and there were some really good success stories involved there. One lady, for example, she was in her 70s and she'd lost her leg and she'd had all sorts of surgery. She'd nearly died 3 times. And it was, I had her come into my outpatient classes for a year, and she did eventually get a leg and was managing to walk around a house. Couldn't go outside, but she managed to walk around a house, which was what her goal was. So, yeah, there was some real good stuff came out of that.
Excellent. You move on somewhere else after that then?
Yeah, well, there was a big thing. So any of the past pupils who live in Yorkshire would know. They built a new hospital in Pontefract and a new hospital in Wakefield. And they also merged us with the hospital in Dewsbury, which is when it became Mid-Yorkshire NHS Trust. And with the new hospital brought a lot of changes, unfortunately. They did a management restructure. So there were something like 7 jobs and there were 10 people applying for them.
Eleven.
2 people went through natural wastage, 1 retired and 1 got a job elsewhere. So it was like 9 of us for 7 jobs. But it was a case of you had to write your choices down where you wanted to work. My amputee service that I was running, that was merged with another service. So I ended up getting a job on medical and elderly care, where I had a team of people. And then my then manager retired, which was a shame, because he was a really good advocate for me. He understood me. He got me. And I'd worked with him for years, so that was a bit of a shame.
So a lot of change then. Did you move base again as well?
No, I was still at Pinderfields Hospital by this time.
Yeah.
So I stayed there. Yeah, not an easy time because they merged us with the occupational therapist as well, and that brought its own challenges. Mm. Yeah, so it got quite difficult in those days. To the point where I ended up leaving. It wasn't an easy time.
Did you encounter some not so good attitudes towards your visual impairment later on?
Yeah. A lot of ignorance. By then there were a lot of staff coming in who were probably at primary school when I qualified. And, 99% of the younger ones thought they knew better. And when I was a junior, if somebody who was more experienced told you, you do that, you did it.
Mm.
If they said, you have to do it this way, you said, right, when do you want me to do it that way? There was a lot of respect for experience in those days. And I would say to people, Why do I need to do that? I just need to know so I understand it. Well, that attitude completely went, and it's like, no, I'm qualified. I can do what I want, and your methods are old fashioned, and well, my methods work. So a lot of people didn't understand about my eyesight. A lot of them didn't understand the challenges that brought for me. For example, I might have we had what they call therapy rooms on the wards, and if I put my glasses down and somebody moved them, they wouldn't tell me. So I'd go and look for my glasses. I thought, oh God, has anybody seen my glasses? And then you'd have one saying, oh yeah, it won't me this time or whatever. Mm. So there was just no cop on in terms of, if you move something, tell the person it's not a problem. If you move it, tell me that you moved it, then I know you have. So there was a lot of that sort of stuff went on, and it just got very, very difficult. Mm. A lot of very strong characters as well that influence things. A lot of older occupational therapy assistants who would refused to do stuff for the qualified staff, and it was toxic, actually. That's the only way I can describe it.
And your new manager wasn't as supportive, I take it.
No. The new manager had known me of old, but I think there were other things at play there. I think there were two other staff that I knew who had disabilities there over the three years beforehand, and both of them mysteriously left. So I think there was a bigger game plan there, and I think possibly managers got told you've got to bring this about, you've got to get rid of such and such a one. So yeah, it wasn't a good time, and so afterwards, I ended up moving over to Ireland then in 2020, because I just thought, you know what? I always wanted to move to Ireland. The my partner at the time, we our relationship broke up. He was going through his own challenges at his job as well. And I think the more I hear of disabled people getting... I don't like to throw the word around, but there is a lot of discrimination in work.
It feels like things are going backwards something in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was talking to somebody that was in my year at school a few years ago, and she was a social worker, and she worked at a hospital in Leeds. And exactly, we hadn't spoken for years, but she was told me what had happened to her, and it was a carbon copy of what had happened to me.
Mm.
So, and I just, when she said, I just went, oh, great. And I said, well, no, I said, actually, I don't mean it's great that happened. I said, I'm glad that I'm not imagining that all this happened with me, because it's happened with someone else, and I've heard of numerous other people, and there has to, at some point, all this stuff has to come out. It has to.
Well, I mean, I know from my work in trade union and the local authority, you know, I've seen the way attitudes towards the same people have changed. And, you know, once they start making cuts and restructures, you're seen as a burden, you know.
Mm-hmm. What? Completely agree.
Oh, thanks, Gemma. It's really good to hear your story. And do tune in on the next podcast for the next instalment. I'm going to wrap up now with the details for this year's reunion. This year's reunion will take place on the 1st of June, mainly starting at the school and then heading off to Bradbury Fields for the evening. So if you'd like to join us, we will be at the school from around 12 to 12:30. We'll have our packed lunch and the AGM. Usually try and get that done as quick as we can, around 2 o'clock. And then you've got time to explore school, have a look round the places you used to go to, places you used to hide, all the, you know, your accommodation, the library, the gym. And what they tend to do is have the archives open upstairs, which is in what was at some point was a dormitory, also became the youth club, and has probably been used for a number of other things over the years. So that is a good way of having an explore of things like the dentist chair, the gong. I'd love to have banged that at some point. You know, when we were at school, we all remember the gong, especially those who've been there a long time. And there's a few other things, some old brailers, and show some of the history of those, and a lot of the yearbooks, which people can have a look at if they wish. Then we'll move on to Bradbury Fields. We will have some taxis available for people to use, or people can walk across to Bradbury Field. It's not a long walk unless it's chucking it down. And we'll have something to eat, and then we'll have a karaoke and time to have a sing and just have some time together. And that will go on till around 11 o'clock. Some people are staying at the Travel Lodge on Edge Lane. We managed to get a booking for people there, but unfortunately that closed at the end of March. However, if you wanted to join us, do check the Travel Lodge website. A few people are staying for the whole weekend, starting on the Friday and staying till the Sunday. If you want more information or you want to book, please see the website www.svppa.org.uk, where you will find the booking form. If you have any problems, please get in touch with one of the committee. Or you can contact me direct. I'm happy for my business number to be issued on here, which is 07424 132 795. So that is 07424 132 795. Without further ado, we want to thank everyone who's contributed to this podcast, to Lillian, to Gemma, of course to Adrian, and we will be working on the next podcast soon. We will be hosting or doing small sections like we have this time, and we look forward to hearing from you again. Take care, everyone, and see you in episode 45.